Swim in the music. Welcome into the drive. Dave, Katie,
hey.
Nate, live from Radio Row in Houston, Texas, as the voice guy just told you. Brought to you by our good friends at Jiffy Lube. JiffyLubeCA.com for all your valuable coupons.
Hey, Katie, do you know who that is? Sorry, Dave. Do you know
who
that is?
Who Jiffy Lube is?
Okay.
Well, who is it?
It's Tim Brown.
Oh, okay. I didn't know who you were pointing to. Hey, Tim Brown.
No, you can't see. He's obscured. I'm sorry. I'm Radio Row mode now. We're going to see people. I'm going to point them out to Katie. I'm going to get distracted.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that is that you got to think that one through. Because if you point them out and then we don't get them on, we look stupid.
Yeah,
good point.
Think that one through, Goodyear.
Hey, it looked like Tim Brown, but it really wasn't.
You know what?
It was just a guy wearing his jersey.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have someone that actually, like, while we're on air, goes and grabs people.
That's why our engineer is here, Jason. We appreciate that. As we come here from the George R. Brown Convention Center, and really to me this is kind of like day one. I know we were here yesterday, but I don't know if it bled through on the radio or not, but yesterday I was in pretty much a murderous mood.
You were tough to deal with yesterday.
I didn't want to deal, you know, and it wasn't, and I hope you believe me, it wasn't a one of those prima donna radio things. It was just so much crap was you lead in, you drive, you get here, you're traveling, the stuff isn't the way you want, and weirdly enough, as sloppy as I appear, I try to be a perfectionist, but at least a averageist.
Try to pretend you're not.
Right. You want to at least meet mediocrity's level.
Right.
And so, you know.
You strive for mediocrity.
Yes. And when stuff doesn't go right. Thank you, Matt. When stuff does not go right, it tends to upset me. And yesterday there were a lot of things, you know, that peel back the curtain.
Well, do you feel a little bit better today? You were here earlier. You know what? We should take a picture right now.
I'm going to retweet the one I sent out an hour ago.
Well, you came early.
I did.
One of the things you were most upset about is that you went shopping.
Yes.
2 days ago to make sure that yesterday when we came on air that you had all kinds of goodies, which, Dave, I'm looking around here and no one else does that, so
yeah.
Good for you. But it
next
also
level.
Looks like we've got our own little like Super Bowl party set up.
Kinda.
So you
we
know,
do.
I haven't seen cheese in a can for a really long time.
Two cheeses in a can, yeah. Katie.
I was gonna say not only did you do one, but you got two different kinds.
We have cheddar and sharp cheddar.
Cheese
and
you have to eat it fast. Get eat cheese in a can. Right?
I looked for bacon, a bacon cheese, and didn't get it. They didn't have it. But listen. Here's the bottom line. It's not the first rodeo here. We're a mid-market radio station. We're surrounded by CBS Sports
Network. We're bribing people with Skittles.
We really are, you know, and that's the thing. And I've seen this before. When guests are rolling around and deciding their little handlers, their auctioneers, whatever they are.
Auctioneers.
Deciding what radio station they go to, one of the things that, as funny as it sounds, when these guys are hungry in the morning, or gals, they look over here, oh, hey, I want a Clif Bar. Can I have a Clif Bar? Sure. What time are you available? It's just the little things that set you apart. So, yeah, today, part of the problem yesterday, for example, is our show starts at 8 a.m. Central Time, Houston time, 6 a.m., of course, back home where you guys are. Well, the credential pickup time opened at 8 a.m. Central. So it was just a bad situation from the beginning, whereas today you could arrive as early as you wanted. So I got here nice, bright, and early, and yeah, we set all this stuff up. We're all dealt with, and then you guys rolled in. And Nate, I can't help but notice that you know, I'm trying to place it, and I feel like Robert Downey Jr. in the 80s is about where it is, like less than zero phase.
Hey, what are we here for?
For Bobby anyway. Down. How is I know that I'm
statistically speaking still having a good time.
Well, okay. can we share why you know that?
Well, yeah, see, because
I've got this nifty little
pocket breathalyzer that I've brought with me. That's just a great gig at parties. Everyone loves the old see how high you can blow on the breathalyzer game.
Nate's giving himself a breathalyzer test.
See if I can make it this morning. And, you know, Dave misplaced the decimal point and thought that I was legally dead.
Well, so 0.08 is that's where you're unsafe to drive. Uh-huh. And what I thought I saw was 0.17. I didn't see 1.7. I thought I saw 0.17. I went, wow, over double. Okay, you're
right.
Coming.
Damn.
Well, Katie worked last night. She was at, she did, of course, sidelines for the Kings, whatever the scrimmage with the Rockets. And then, did you go home afterwards?
I did.
Okay, so you went home. I went to the game.
Well, I checked into my second hotel in this city.
Because Katie had to switch hotels. Yeah. I went back after the game and worked on a video, actually, that is going to be put up here fairly soon by our promotion staff back home. And we'll give you the link and all that stuff. Just kind of a montage, goofy montage of yesterday. And we'll have much more for you, by the way, at cagedk.com each day. We'll put out a little video vignette. So we went and did that, and then you, I believe, with our dear friend Jason, the engineer, you guys went out and was it a media party?
Yeah, media party, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And I forget what it was, like the Houston Museum of Natural Science or something weird like that. Anyway, it was cool. There was a bunch of dinosaurs and stuff like that.
Well, like old ladies?
And, just part
call
of
us
it.
Call cougars.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, you name it, like free food, free drink, and, music. And
museum. Oh God, there was free drinks.
Uh-huh. Hell yeah, there was. There was hand rolled cigars. That was the best part. They had a little cigar bar out back.
And yeah, I saw that you tweeted out a picture while I was at the Kings game of you.
I did.
And our engineer Jason enjoying one of those stogies.
They're marvelous, and I've still got one to go back in the room. And that was after, of course, Dave. You were kind enough to buy us a couple of glasses of Talisker. I don't know if you knew that.
Don't worry, I got your credit card back from them.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that a true story?
Yeah.
It's absolutely a true story.
Don't worry. I have your credit card. It's put away safely.
Because
but I think I'm going to go buy myself a massage. I think I'm going to buy myself a massage or something today. Now Dave's going to get on his phone and check to see his credit card activity.
Well, see, because the story behind this is Dave is a nice enough guy. He knows that I'm not responsible enough to have an actual credit card with a big enough limit to put down for the room I'm going to be staying in. So he just did when we were at the airport. He's like, hey, man, just in case, here, take this. You know, I don't want you to have to deal with any of that stuff if it's a problem. Now, luckily, I didn't because my room had already been checked into, but I just had the, you know, that nice little card rotting away in my wallet, and I was like, you know what? I think
Dave's going to buy us a drink tonight.
We're at the airport. Nate's worried he doesn't know how much they're going to put on his card. And, you know, Nate's still starting out. So
he's newly married. His wife hasn't given him a big boy credit card yet.
Yeah. So I see this, and I don't want Nate to feel this way, so I hand him my American Express card and say, hey, take this. If there's a problem with your card.
Well, there was.
Use it. Was there a problem with your card at the hotel?
Yeah.
Did you use my card at the hotel?
Yeah. Not at the hotel. No.
There was a problem at the bar.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, use this to check in so you can get in your room and go to sleep. I don't want him caught without, because we're staying at separate hotels.
Uh-huh.
The booking situation.
Yeah.
We're at separate hotels about a mile and a half apart. So I gave it to him for insurance just to make sure he was taken care of. I forgot to get it yesterday. My bad. and then I find out today that, and thank you for admitting it, although I would have noticed.
Oh, you were going to find out.
No.
I mean, I'm ready to give you cash. I don't care. I just wanted to play
$42.22 for two drinks.
It's probably a little closer to 50. You tip well.
Don't worry, Dave. It's in my bag. I've got your credit card. But again, I'm thinking.
How did
maybe
you
I'll...
get my credit card?
Because when she he told me, I was like, give me the card.
I thought you went back home.
No, like last.
Aha!
Night, yeah.
Trapped.
Last night I met them downstairs and I got a burger for dinner because it was after the game and I hadn't really I had a salad in the media room last night, so I got a burger and he's telling the story about it. I was like, Nate, give me Dave's credit card right now.
Did you hang out at all last night?
No, I just got a burger and then I went back upstairs.
Because that's another recurring thing we do. We found when we travel. Hey, Katie, you're my best friend. Want to come do radio? Yeah, I'd love to. Okay. 2 months later, we start traveling. Okay, I don't ever see you anymore. What are you doing? Oh, I was hanging out with Nate. What were you doing? I was in my room alone. You've ever wondered whether or not I'm a cool person in real life, that's really all you need to know.
Hey,
I'm sorry that you have
drama queen over there.
Alcohol allergy.
I do.
Drama queen. Yeah. I did text you, did I not, when I got
to
the hotel last night? Yeah, I said, where are you?
Besides,
I said, I'm in my room editing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to grab something to eat, and then I went to bed.
We went over this in Vegas. You know me. You know what I'm going to do. I can't help it if just,
I'm not blaming anyone.
Animal magnetism from this one over here.
I'm still trying to register the fact.
I can't believe I sat on that for a good 12 hours.
Yeah, you did.
And saved it for the air. You should be proud of me. I usually spill all that crap in the 5 o'clock hour.
Damn it, Nathan. You know, it's like
you all right?
He's having a stroke. I'm having a stroke.
I'm trying to think of the right thing.
Having a stroke.
It's like you finally let the puppy out of the crate.
And it pees all over your carpet.
You come downstairs in the morning, and you're barely awake, and you look on the carpet, and there's just a giant, a soft serve right in the middle of it. All right.
I figured you'd love
all
that.
Right.
Oh, well.
All right.
We got a big show for you today. Charles Peanut Tillman is scheduled for 6:30. We're chasing him around.
Yeah.
But if you remember him, he's very, very fast. James Lofton, Tony Baselli, Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, woo! Boomer.
That's just a couple of the people that are on the books. Four down territory at 7:17. But how about Nate buys me a nice big glass of morning brew? Next on the drive.
$50 worth.
Live from Houston, Sports 1140 KHTK. What G-Man left out is when the Kings coaching staff was waving to Mike D'Antoni, they had a white flag in their hand. They were giving up entirely. It was never a game from the first quarter, I guess, was okay. And then you just saw the Kings completely fell apart. 105-83, 11 points in the second quarter, Katie. And really, screw the game.
Yeah.
Because we knew they were not winning last night. All my mind is on right now is strained hamstring, Garrett Temple, MRI today. Let's just hope he's okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. I spoke to him last night in the locker room, and obviously when it happened, it looked like
horrible.
And I'm not over exaggerating here. It looked like a sniper hit him from somewhere in the building.
He slipped on something.
No, he stole the ball from James Harden, and he tried to explode to go and like get the ball that he tapped away.
Out from under him.
And you see him grab his leg, and then he like hyperextended it, and it's like just flopped onto the floor and was like in obvious pain.
Even Rockets
I spoke to him after the game, and he said, he's pulled his hamstring before, and he said this doesn't feel as bad as the first go around. He did it a couple years ago, and I asked, well, how long were you out that go around? He was like, I was out about 4 weeks, but I tried to come back and hurt it in the first practice. So it's one of those things. Hamstrings are always tough, but as you said, he'll get an MRI today in Sacramento with team doctors. We'll know more about it, but the looks of the injury and the reaction of when it happened live doesn't look good. And that is really the only thing that you can look at from last night's game because, 8 games in 12 days, it was their third back-to-back. And, what do you expect? It wasn't good.
I'm a big fan of those Chinese New Year uniforms the Rockets were wearing. But why is it that they can't get white ones? Like, there should be a rule, and I've said this before, but you don't let someone wear white. You don't let your opponent wear white on your home floor. It's dumb.
I am shocked.
I don't like that.
I'm shocked you feel this way. No, I really am. Because that's an old man
That's like one of my least favorite things,
wow,
man.
Wow, I completely expected you to be a who cares. So what?
Cares.
No, I'm very...
Good for you.
There are rules when it comes to uniforms, man.
I agree.
You don't let someone come into your house and wear white on your home floor. It's nonsense.
Agreed. Let's talk about this, fellas, because obviously is important.
Yeah. It is.
No, but when you do a special uniform, nothing sticks out very well with a white background. That's the theory behind it. So second brew. Oh, I miss our conversations with Greg Papa where we get in 2 questions in a half an hour. Man, I miss that guy. But the Raiders, man, we talked about it yesterday. Sheldon Adelson pulling out of the deal with all of his, what was it, $750 million or $650 million? Well, and then it was like the Raiders like, oh, it's okay. We've got Goldman and Sachs. No, they don't. They don't have them.
I wanted to say it yesterday, but I really had nothing to go off of, and so it seemed like it would just be silly speculation. That's just not the type of thing I do. But I found it really strange that Goldman Sachs would not be in Sheldon Adelson's pocket. Like, that guy just has such a ridiculous amount of money. And he controls the state of Nevada, and so it doesn't surprise me at all that they would back out. If Sheldon doesn't want something done, it's not happening.
Well, obviously, to Mark Davis, it did not feel good when Adelson pulled out, and now we're in a situation where, when you add in Goldman Sachs as well, it's very difficult to conceive something like this when you have both sides pulling out. There's no
at the last minute.
There's no way that without.
Without you stay in there until the job's finished.
You do. And now that Mark Davis and the Raiders are completely on the road.
This is just a pissing match. This is a pissing match because Adelson was upset about the fact that it came down to the naming rights and the rent for $1 a year. And he's like, I can't believe that the Raiders would do this to our community and to UNLV. It's like, really, he is so – his hand is in everything in Vegas. But the important thing to me here is we're talking about a team in San Diego that apparently is going to be moving up to L.A., and now San Diego's being mentioned with the Raiders. And we saw when the Raiders went down and played in San Diego, that entire stadium was filled with Raiders fans. So who knows where the Raiders are going to end up? Hey, maybe Oakland.
We'll have more on that on 648. In 3 years, when the Las Vegas Sheldons open up in Nevada, we'll know what Adelson was doing. Third brew down.
Oh. That's Charles Barkley responding to LeBron, responding to his criticism. Guys, listen, Chuck has bad takes, and he gets paid money to deliver them entertainingly. And that's pretty cool, generally speaking. But sometimes you just got to take the L, Chuck. Sometimes you just got to do it, whether it's a jump shooting team is never going to win an NBA title or something like this. Like, it's okay sometimes to be like, I kind of ate it on that one.
And he did. And he took the L. And he should have. When he says, I want to get personal with LeBron, what are you going to say? Your mom is weird. I don't know. LeBron's pretty clean.
That was one of the things, too, whether or not there's stuff. And I'm sure there is stuff.
By the way, Barkley got personal with LeBron, which is what started this whole thing. Can't kick a guy in the cans and then say, I'm not going to kick him in the jungle.
How is it personal? Did he go into his personal life? Because that was LeBron's.
No, but he questioned his heart, and he basically called him a coward.
But all of that was on the court related, right? LeBron went for everything off the court. He went for gambling. He went for drinking. He went
spitting,
for all of that
throwing
stuff.
Throwing people through windows.
Yeah, he went for all of that stuff. So, Chuck is like, he did his research,
That's the best part.
He did his research. Got to give him that.
He did his research.
You got me.
And he did. All right, that's it. We'll take a break. Back in 3 minutes. Here we go. So today, coming up on The Drive, we are chasing around Charles Peanut Tillman. Also, we've got Boomer Esiason and James Lofton. Boomer at 7:30. When we get back, Goldman Sachs has pulled out of the Raider deal. We'll talk about that. And the Sac Republic in the news. We'll address that, too, right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. 6:32, time to save money at the pump. Text Dave, D-A-V-E, to 83835. Write it down, 83835 now, and you'll save a quarter a gallon on your second fill-up, plus stack your rewards at all participating Shell gas locations. Dave, Katie, and Nate, The Drive, live from Radio Row in Houston, Texas. Thanks so much to Jiffy Lube. Aaron Coscarelli is a reporter, host, analyst for the NFL Network. She joined us yesterday after the show. We recorded a fun visit with her. And a lot of times on Radio Row, we'll be here throughout the day and we'll record stuff with multiple people. And some of it's usable, some of it's not. We filter through. But with Aaron, it was actually a very fun interview. We'll play that for you here in a couple minutes. Coming up at 7 o'clock, by the way, we'll talk more about the game last night. And also, rumors about DeMarcus Cousins hit the news yesterday, going to possibly Phoenix. We'll get into detail on that at 7 a.m. Let's start out and just real quick, want to address the Sacramento Republic, who yesterday, a friend of the show, Kunal Merchant, the former chief of staff to the mayor, and a guy who was very very vocal and pivotal in the fight for the Kings was in New York City dropping off the MLS application for Sacramento for MLS expansion. As the day wore on yesterday, people began to notice that the application cover that they took a picture of and sent out did not have the Republic logo on it. The majority owner, Kevin Nagel, had changed his Twitter from SRFC, you know, Sac Republic Kevin, to MLS Kevin, and a couple other things that really blew up in just a nuclear way early evening here, afternoon back home. And it went from reporters tweeting to a Deadspin article, and the spin, no pun intended, on it was rich guy comes in, undercuts Warren Smith, who founded the Republic a couple years ago, goes behind his back, turns in MLS application, buries the name and brand of the Republic, and screws the city. So there hasn't been anything from either any camps. Nothing from Warren Smith, nothing from Kevin Nagel, nothing from any, you know, we haven't heard from anyone since yesterday's press conference. So full disclosure, guys, as you know, sitting across from me and many know listening, the ownership group with people like Kevin Nagel and Phil Oates, you know, Mayor Johnson being involved, Mayor Steinberg being involved, Mark Friedman. These are all people that were instrumental in saving the Kings.
Right.
So I don't have, like, specifics, and I can't say what's going on. And to be perfectly clear, even if I did know, I wouldn't – it's not my place to say. You know, it's not my place. If I did know, I'm not the one who needs to speak out. That's something I would know kind of – access, I don't know how to say. I it wouldn't be my place. It's their place. They need to speak. But what I said on Twitter last night is, this looks a little goofy. It looks a lot goofy. I would just caution against trying and convicting an entire group of people on either side that have a proven track record of doing some pretty cool things for this city, that have a track record of putting their money where their mouth is and trying to bring sports or keep sports in Sacramento, and have built up a lot of goodwill. I would like to hear from parties involved. I would imagine that there's a very logical explanation. I don't think anybody's going to wake up and say, you know what, we're going to completely screw around with our MLS bid in a tight race on the last day before you can submit, or that you can submit. And I understand people's passion, and I'm not telling anybody how to think. And I'll turn it over to you guys because you read the same stuff. But I would just say, take a deep breath. Let the story get out, and then once we have it, you know, then start throwing stones and rocks. I totally get it.
Yeah, I think to me, this is something that this has been such. They've worked so hard to do this. I feel like something is going on, and there's a reason why both sides are kind of quiet. And I think. You always have to think about where the information is coming that you're getting, like on Twitter, and then is eventually getting picked up in Deadspin articles and so on and so forth. People leak certain things, and when people leak information without actually coming out and saying it as whoever they are,
usually,
you know,
there's an agenda.
There's an agenda behind it. And so this is a little bit wonky
kind
to
of
me.
Like when you guys dance around a whole bunch of stuff that's going on and talk about, you know, making sure you wait a little bit and be patient and let the stories come out. I mean, it's the... Same.
Yeah, no, I mean, but I'm just saying there's more to this in my mind.
I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I'm like, we're being so ambiguous here with this whole thing. Like, hey, be careful who you listen to. We haven't talked about what we know, which is simply that the guy that founded the team, somehow or another, nowhere to be found when this happens.
Yep.
Right?
No, nowhere to be found with the bid. He's got nothing to do with this anymore. Somehow, some reason, okay? I don't know any of these people. I haven't talked to them. What we also know is that the people that are, you know, brought the team here, they're getting squeezed out for people like Meg Whitman and Jed York, who's involved. And so what it looks like...
I don't know that we know that part. I don't know that we know that last part. Where are you getting that from, that people are being squeezed out for Meg Whitman?
It says right here, as of this morning.
What are you sourcing?
in the B.
And it says what now?
It just says that Meg Whitman's part of the group.
That we know.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know who's getting squeezed.
No, okay, right. But what we are seeing is that this guy, Warren Smith, right?
Yes.
He's no longer a part of it. He founded the team. Meg Whitman is a part of it now.
Does the B say that Warren's not a part of it?
I'm asking. I'm not reading that part.
Oh, I got you.
What I've seen.
He's visible in this, so something's
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not trying to be a D-bag. No. I haven't read the B article, so right. I didn't know if it said that Warren's not a part of this. So I don't, unless you read something.
I'm saying, he was nowhere to be found yesterday.
Yes.
When it comes to the bid.
Yes, that is correct. Not at the press conference, didn't see him in New York. Absolutely.
So the point is, it looks bad, and someone needs to speak up quickly and get this out.
I think we all agree with that.
Yeah.
I think we all agree with that, because misinformation breeds disinformation.
Mm-hmm. And it also breeds people just jumping to conclusions based on no information at all, right?
Yeah, well, and the thing is,
I just find it hard. Like, people are crucifying certain people. It's like, it's like Nagel or whoever else is involved.
Yeah.
What is their track record with this community?
That's
what
I was
saying. What's their track record?
I want to be really careful, though, here. This isn't a, hey, people, calm down. Don't be so silly. I get it. There are a lot. Sacramento soccer fans are passionate with a capital P-A-double-S. I get it. And this is scary. So
but, not the INA.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Okay.
So I don't want it to sound like there's this condescension here. Come on, new fans. I get it. And the sides or whoever needs to come out and the story needs to happen. I get why people are concerned. Again, as we've been saying, there's no harm in a day or two. Just let the story come out. You don't want to say anything you're going to regret.
Just
let the story come out. It will come out. Time is a very interesting revealer. So we'll take a break. When we get back, we didn't talk about. Oh, yeah. Erin Coscarelli's coming on. That's right. We got her coming on. We taped her yesterday. I was going to flip over to something else from the NFL Network and former CSN Bay Area alum. Yeah. We'll talk about the NFL Network's coverage, what's going on with Super Bowl here from Radio Row. Thanks to Jiffy Lube. That's in 3 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. Joining us right now in Houston, Radio Row, Super Bowl week, and you know you're going to be watching NFL Network quite a bit, I would imagine. Super Bowl Live starting tomorrow, 12 Eastern, that's 11, 10, 9 Pacific. I had to do the math in my head back home. Erin Coscarelli joins us. Hello, Erin, Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
Guys, how we doing?
Fantastic. Yeah. Day one, really, of our coverage from here.
Yeah.
So, starting
off with a bang, obviously, interviewing me.
Yes, absolutely.
You're running the anchor leg.
Yeah,
you get the good run here. We've already been doing it. So.
Yeah. When did you guys get in? Well, you said day one, but did you guys kind of the troops landed?
Yeah, just to be clear, we're you're hearing us now, but we taped this yesterday, if you will.
Gotcha.
So we're actually, by the time everybody hears us talking, it'll be day two.
Nice.
Where it will be a much calmer situation, this isn't your first Radio Row, is it?
This will be my third.
Okay, and it's a cluster, isn't it?
It is, right?
Always is.
I know.
Always.
Is day two calmer than day one?
I always feel like you understand a little bit more.
Maybe,
the cluster,
you're right. Sure.
And then by the end of the week, it's just a circus. I called it a big, giant NFL orgy is what I called
nice.
It.
Nice.
Media.
That's
how we roll.
Just like
everything's
it.
Just – there's no rules.
It's a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all.
Right,
And then by the time next week rolls around, you're done. You're numb.
Oh, yeah. You're, like, on life support. You need, like, an IV to give you fluids, and you're not sure what day it is, what time it is. You're in bed. You need, like, 2 weeks of sleep. Been there.
PJs,
yeah. Ice cream.
I'm in my PJs right now. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Is that not acceptable to come in PJs? I mean,
PJs are rad. If I could do my show in, like, super cool, like, sheep PJs, which, by the way, I own.
Sheep PJs? You got, like, the headpiece, too? Or
I own a onesie, although it tends to get a little too hot for me for whatever reason, so I don't rock.
They don't make onesies in my size.
Yeah, it's like
how tall are you?
6'3", yeah.
6'3", so yeah. Basketball or volleyball?
Both, but basketball,
okay.
Yeah.
Basketball, gotcha. Yeah. I actually had dreams of playing in the WNBA. Uh-huh. It's just the 5'3 thing seemed to get in
the
way.
You know, there was, for a while, when I first got into the league, there was a 5'3 point guard. She played it. It was in Miami, and her name was Debbie. I'm forgetting her last name.
Hold on a second. Are you saying it's her skill now? Like, you
no.
could have just let it go
with
the height
thing.
There's
still hope.
Erin is with me right now. right now. There is hope. You know, it does not matter how big or small you are. Bones, there's a place for you.
There is.
He played in the NBA. He was 5'3". Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah.
I mean,
listen, but we're talking the WNBA. Obviously, yeah. The skill level much higher than the NBA. And you said Debbie, right?
Yeah.
She must have been able to know how to dunk or something.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been some other
there
skill.
There was a trampoline involved.
That's right. Yeah.
But, yeah.
She was part of that traveling like basketball skill group. That must have been it because I had no hope. I was decent. Actually, I'm like not a bad athlete.
Uh-huh.
Maybe just because I'm overly physical. Like, I remember, too.
You throw those elbows around
a
little bit.
And by the way, I would play soccer. I played on a club-level soccer. So it was a travel soccer team. And I remember I was such a jerk of a player that if someone ever checked me, I'm like, I remember it was number 11 getting her back.
They got a bullseye, yeah.
And then, target on the back, done. And then I usually, because I was so small in stature, would get away with it. Uh-huh. So we were good. And then I was really good at flopping, too. I was like, oh, my
God.
That's
a skill.
It is a skill. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I was a huge asset to my team, despite the short size.
A diver.
Yeah, I was good. Decent. What's
your favorite thing about this week?
I think it's the storylines and the excitement. It feels a little overwhelming because there's so much going on. Even opening night. Did you guys go by any chance?
I just got in like
yeah,
this,
we got
this
in
morning.
Late last night. We saw the pictures,
like
though.
1:30.
Our engineer went and he was showing us pictures. It was ridiculous.
You know, you use the word insane. That feels like an understatement. Yeah. It was a show. They had ex-ambassadors. Are you familiar with their
band? Yeah.
I'm like listening to them on the way over.
That's the Into the Jungle song, right?
Yes, that's what they played last night. The Jungle song and then Collider, I guess, is another hit. But you're feeling this energy and this excitement. It's Super Bowl 51. It's in Houston.
We like to call it Lee.
Lee. By the way, I'm not good with Roman numerals. Someone asked me yesterday. They're like, what? I forget what it was. It was like 1994. They're like, what Super Bowl is this? I'm like,
No idea.
I'll literally have to do the math. I'll be like, okay,
1994 probably would have been 28 because the Niners won Super Bowl 29 in 95.
And that's how you have to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, I would do Super Bowl 50, and then I would have to subtract, 2016. But then you get really confused because even though it's 2015 season, the game happens in 2016, and you're like, this is mad confusing.
No, math is not my strong point anyway.
That's why I got in the world of communications.
You know, what's interesting is that we're all four media members, but you can obviously take a picture and tell who the two on-air personalities are television-wise.
No,
she's whooping my butt today.
What are you talking about?
But here's a little piece of trivia I don't think either of you knew. Now, of course, you do what you do for the NFL Network, Katie. You do sidelines for the Sacramento Kings. But you both share a common employer, or at least you do, because you're a Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area.
Yeah.
Alum.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's
right.
It's a whole family. So you cover the Niners and the Warriors and all that, and, us being from Sacramento, and that's what Katie does out there. So there's some good sports going on there right now.
You know, and when I was there.
Good job, Dave.
Thanks. I was trying to transition.
When I was there, actually, it was kind of interesting. At the time, the 49ers, unstoppable. Yeah. They went to the NFC Championship game. Well, they went to the Super Bowl, and then they went to the NFC Championship game and ultimately lost to the Seahawks. But at the time, the 49ers were super legit, and the Raiders, I think the season had won only 3 games. This was before Derek Carr. Yeah. Talk about in such a short amount of time, because this was 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and you're seeing, I mean, but the
polar opposites.
And it's kind of a bummer to see how the 49ers.
It's great to see the Raiders have some success, though, because they've been kind of in a drought for some time. And we're the home of the Raiders, and so that was like a really fun season to cover until, what was it, week 16 when Derek Carr goes down. Then it's like, the sales collapsed. It's not like they were just kind of flopping around. They just fell all the way to the ground.
I know. And we have David Carr. He works at our network.
Yeah.
Guy never lifts a weight. I mean, totally skinny, not attractive at all. Considering how buff and handsome he is, got to be one of the nicest guys. Super humble, has no idea, I think, how great
he is. It's a family thing, I think.
Well, you can't be sharing information like that, then, if you wanted to stay that way.
Right, I know. I tell everybody, I'm like, why is he so nice? He's so friendly. But he had said, we had him on the show, and I'm like, what happened, what was that conversation that you had with your brother when he went down? And he said, it's a bummer. He's sitting on the couch watching, games happen and him thinking he could be here right now. And so, it's a huge bummer. And Derek Carr only has a really bright future ahead of him. The Raiders are very lucky. But, hopefully next year.
You're the best. You're
thank
awesome.
Thank you so much, thank guys.
It's so nice to meet you.
Tomorrow, starting at
12 Eastern.
That's 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, in your Super Bowl coverage.
No, is that what day? Is it Thursday?
Tomorrow.
Is it Wednesday?
That's
we're
tomorrow,
kicking it off.
Is, oh, I,
it's, yeah, so we're airing
tomorrow,
this interview on Wednesday.
Today.
So Wednesday.
Wednesday. Ah, yeah. Good catch there.
See, that's what a pro does.
Yeah.
Let's take notes.
That's CSNBA alums right there in simpatico. Have fun.
And, thank you, guys.
And I hope
thank
all your interviews you do the rest of the week are better than this. You were fantastic, but we're kind of lower in the bar.
You know, we strive for mediocre.
There you go.
Work with real pros. That's Erica Osterlund. Check her out on the NFL Network.